Hey friends, I'm Jenny Meyer, and you're listening to the Rooted Truth Podcast, where we look at the world through a biblical lens. We talk about real life, biblical truth, and how to walk with Jesus through it all. Be sure to follow me on social at Jenny Meyer and at The Rooted Truth. Also, be sure to subscribe to the members-only, all-exclusive episodes on the Rooted Truth Podcast by going to www.therootedtruth.com. Now let's get started. Hey friends, welcome back to the podcast. It is just me today, and I wanted to kind of just do a brief overview of the end times and the different views of the end times. As you have probably noticed over, I would say maybe the last year or so, I've had a handful of different guests on the podcast talking about different aspects to the end times, whether it's the book of Revelation or Daniel, 7-year tribulation, the Olivet Discourse, and the millennial reign. And I want to continue doing that because it's the journey that God has had me on, honestly, the past 4 years. And I love sharing what I am learning. And so I want to continue having these discussions and really digging into understanding what the first century Jews and Christians would have understood. And so I want to kind of set the stage because I'm sure some of these guests that I have had on, maybe you have never heard like the terminology that has been said on there. And so I want to just break it down and go over the main four different views of Revelation and then the main four different views of end times overall. Because in the future, I want to continue having these conversations. I want to dig into more and have an in-depth conversation on the millennial reign. I want to talk more about the mark of the beast and the history of dispensationalism, all of that. And so in order to do that, I felt like I needed to kind of set the stage for the different views. So with that being said, I want to first preface this, that this is not a salvation issue at all. This is not something that if I believe one way and you believe another way, that it's a salvation issue for believers. It's not. I can believe something when it comes to end times, and you can believe something totally different when it comes to end times. And as long as we are both born again, spirit-filled believers, guess what? We're still going to be in heaven together. And so I want to say that to say, don't let end time views break up relationships, because it really, I've seen a lot of it. We know that it's split churches before, right? And this, a lot of people let this topic divide relationships and break up relationships. And I've even seen it on social media, on Instagram. I've had these air quote like Instagram friends the past 4 or 5 years, right? Where we've texted, we've talked on the phone before. And recently, when I have started speaking out about what I have been learning and really digging into all of the different views and sharing that they have literally mocked me, unfollowed me, made comments on my posts, on my page, and then proceeded to then post something on their page, blatantly like disrespecting me and making fun of me for believing what I do. And it's not good. God does not want that, right? We are still brothers and sisters in Christ, and we can have different views. And I have just as much right to share what God's teaching me as you do sharing what you believe about end times as well. And so the journey that I've been on the past 4 years really has taken me a totally different route than I thought when I first started. I was raised with a futurist viewpoint, and we'll get into that, what that means here in a minute, and believing in what's called dispensational premillennialism. And again, I'll get into that definition here in a minute as well, but essentially believing that I'm waiting to be raptured out of here. And when I'm raptured, there'll be a 7-year tribulation and Antichrist will stand in the third temple, all of these things. And I started to question it in 2020 and started like, well, you know, where did this 7-year time frame come from? And so I started digging, started reading. I've probably read the book of Revelation probably at least 10 times front to back, if not more than that, in the last couple of years, and started digging in, looking at the book of Daniel, understanding the 7-year tribulation comes from the book of Daniel, that doctrine comes from the book of Daniel, Daniel 9 to be specific. And then it just started making me like, it rose other questions in my mind. And I wanted to know, okay, so if this is what I believe, because I was taught this, where did it come from? And what are the other views around this, around end times, around eschatology? And eschatology is simply like the study of end times. That's simply what it means. So if you hear that word and you are unsure, that's what it means, study of end times. So eschatology. And then I just started again, digging in, looking at the different views and, you know, what they believe and why they believe that. And I just encourage you that if you have never done that, if you believe what you believe, simply because you've been taught it by your pastor, right? And that's the only reason you believe it because you trust that pastor. I encourage you to dig in yourself. Look at all the different views, look at what they believe, why they believe it, and then take it to God in prayer and ask the Holy Spirit for discernment around it. Because, you know, in doing that, I really feel like when you are seeking with a pure heart and you set aside your pride, the Holy Spirit will show you and just lead you to things, right? It's a really, really fun journey. And it's been so fun the past couple years as I've been really, really digging in. And what I'm going to talk about today is all found in the most recent Revelation study. And we are wrapping that up with a Rooted Truth. Goodness, as I'm recording this one, this is going to be our 12th week of this study and wrapping it up. We're going to finish it out this week. And so by the time you're listening to this podcast, we should have it up on the website, whether it's a digital copy or we are actually getting these in print as well. So head over to the website to check it out. I'll put the link in the show notes below so you can go look at it. But all this information is in that as well. So again, I just pray that you listen with open ears of just like, okay, so where do I fit into these? But also understand that these labeled views that I'm going to discuss can make you feel like you have to be in a certain box, but understand that you may believe some parts of a certain view, but not all of it. And you may even believe some parts of a few different views. And in reality, it may be a mix of like all of them. So as you go, you know, as you listen through this, and even if you're doing the Revelation study, don't feel like you have to hold to a certain view. It is completely okay. So that is kind of setting the stage. So let's dig in now. There are essentially 4 overarching ways that people look at the book of Revelation. And then there are also 4 different views really of end times. So I'm going to go through like 8 different things today. And first we're going to start out with the way that people look at the book of Revelation. First, we have what's called preterism. And the preterists believe that biblical prophecies of end times apply to past events. So for example, in the first century, Emperor Nero was over the whole Roman Empire. Also, Roman Empire, remember, was over Israel and Jerusalem, but they believe that this is the spirit of the Antichrist, right? And a part of the beast kingdom that we see in Revelation 13. And they believe that all prophecies were fulfilled in the first century of the church. Thus, that fulfillment was future to John, yet happened in the past from our viewpoint. And they believe that because they believe and they hold to John writing or getting the vision of this and writing Revelation sometime between 60 to 64, 65-ish AD. So before the Jewish-Roman wars that started in 66 AD during the time of Nero. But there is also a large camp of people who are known as partial preterists. So these people specifically believe that a lot, if not most, of the fulfillment has happened in the past, specifically the first century, yet there is still some to come, such as the release of Satan, the return of Jesus for his bride. So essentially, I'd say like Revelation 20, you know, midway through 20, through the end of the book, through chapter 22, that is still yet to come. And with them believing this, it's honestly the most like clearly contrasted view with the futurist approach. And again, you know, they believe that most of the prophecies in the book of Revelation were fulfilled right after John's writing. And they really take into consideration, I mean, all throughout the book of Revelation, we find must soon take place and the time is near. So these phrases, so they really take that into consideration and then look at historical events that happened in the first century to say, hey, you know, all of this lines up. So next we have historicism. And the historicists believe that Revelation was and is all prophecy from the time of John up until the end of the world as we know it. So they essentially believe that fulfillment has been happening along the way, the past, you know, 1900, I mean, we're almost at 2000 years from when this book was written and until Christ's return. And it's still unfolding today. They typically, for the most part, in my research on this, believe that Revelation was written in anywhere between 90 to 95 AD. And it was not written during the time of Nero, but rather Domitian, in, you know, closer to the end of the first century. And this approach really appears to, you know, it has its roots before the Protestant Reformation, but it was really adopted by most of the Protestant reformers. And you don't see a ton of people that hold to the historical view of Revelation today. However, I have seen more and more of it. And you know, some of the things that they say, I can totally, totally see it and agree with it as well. But next up, we have futurism. Okay, this is one of the biggest ones. And I mean, at least in the Western world, you know, especially in America, I see this just everywhere. So the futurists believe that the majority, if not all, of the prophecies of Revelation have never been fulfilled and will be fulfilled during a short time, 7 years before Jesus returns. And they believe for the most part that this period of time begins after chapter 4 of Revelation. So they believe really that chapter 4, I believe it's verse 1, is the rapture. So they claim that that's the rapture of the church when John is caught up to the throne room and caught up to heaven. They believe that's symbolic of the rapture of the church. And then after that, there's a 7-year tribulation period, which they consider is the 70th week of Daniel, which comes from Daniel 9. And if you have not listened to the episode that I did with my friend Lori, I believe it was episode 123. Go back and listen to that because we break down the 70th week of Daniel and how that prophecy is not talking about a 7-year tribulation period. It's not. It's talking about the 70th week of Daniel is considered a 7-year time frame, but when you read it in context, it is talking about when Jesus started his ministry. It was the start of the 70th week prophecy, and his ministry was 3.5 years. He was cut off halfway through the tribulation, or halfway through the 7 years, the 70th week. Whereas a lot of people put that, you know, that Daniel 9, I believe it's 24 through 27, saying that verse 27 specifically is an antichrist and it hasn't happened yet. So all the 483 years of the prophecy happened, but then there was a stop and there was a time gap. So if you haven't listened to that episode, go listen to that. And we break it down way better than I'm doing right now, but that's where they really, really hold on to that the 7-year timeframe is going to come And there's going to be an Antichrist standing in a temple, and they have different views on when a rapture, quote unquote, a rapture would take place of the church being like just disappearing. So, and I, you know, I call it a silent rapture, honestly, because they believe that the rapture of the church and the second coming of Jesus are two different events. And so again, the futurists believe that these prophesied events are still in the future. And even from our perspective here in 2024, they understand when they are looking at prophecy that there is no correspondence between the events prophesied in the book of Revelation to anything that has happened in history from the time that it was written. So first century, all the way up to the 21st century, that it has nothing to do with any of that. And so they are literally taking a more of a literalistic approach to the symbolism of the book. And, you know, honestly, I believe lack the appreciation of the symbolism, the imagery that is used in Revelation, and really looking at how it correlates to the Old Testament and how did they use that same language in the Old Testament. And I think once you really understand that, you can put things into perspective as far as the symbolism and imagery of the book of Revelation. So that's futurism. We'll get into more of the rapture ideology and just the different views on that, because there's multiple views within that futuristic understanding of Revelation. But lastly, we have idealism. And the idealists believe that the majority of the book of Revelation is showing a huge spiritual battle that's taking place in the supernatural. So it's taking place in the heavenly realms. They see the fulfillment of prophecy as either fully spiritual or as not just one event. So essentially, they can find multiple events from history that fit that description of certain prophecies, which makes each prophecy really like you could be any believer if at any point over the past 2,000 years and see how that fit for you. So that is idealism. And that one, honestly, is one that I have dug into the least. To be honest, I've dug way more into the preterism, historicism, and futurism. But now let's look at the breakdown of these end time views. So these views, when you overall think of end times, and they all relate to what's called the millennial reign. So they all have some sort of understanding of the millennial reign. And we find this idea of the millennial reign in Revelation 20. And let me just read a couple of verses. This is out of the NASB. It says, "Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, holding a key of the abyss and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he threw him into the abyss and shut it and sealed it over so that he would not deceive the nations any longer until the 1,000 years were completed. After these things, he must be released for a short time." So essentially then skipping down, that's verse 1-3, but you skip down and it talks about those who had not received the mark on their forehead or their hand. They came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. So it's this idea of this 1,000-year reign of Christ and this 1,000 years of peace, essentially. So these four different views are historical premillennialism, dispensational premillennialism, postmillennialism, and amillennialism. So essentially in the premillennial camp, you have both historical and dispensational. And first, the historical, they believe that the 1,000-year reign, so Revelation 20, what I just read, is a literal future event. And their overall view of end times appears as the church age, society growing evil. So that's the current time that we live in right now. There's going to be a great persecution, a really short time at the end of all time, the rapture of the church, Christ returns and reigns on earth for 1,000 years. Satan is then released and defeated for the final time after the 1,000 years before than the new heaven and new earth in eternity. And so that's the historical, but then the dispensational. So dispensational premillennialism, this really became popular in the mid 1800s by John Nelson Darby. And it came out of the Counter-Reformation in the 16 to 1700s. And honestly, in my opinion, is one of the most complicated views, having different tribulation viewpoints, all within the same view. And again, this, so both the dispensational premillennialism and the historical premillennialism hold to that futuristic view. And the overall four understanding dispensationalism, and I'm actually going to be having someone on who has done a lot of research on the history of dispensationalism and break that down a little bit better. So I'm not going to go into a ton of the history, but essentially, John Nelson Darby, you know, started to make it popular. And then it became widely accepted after Cyrus Scofield adopted the view and wrote about it in the early 1900s. And this is how it came into America. It went into all the seminaries. And I mean, you've probably heard of this C.I. Scofield reference Bible. Like, there are literally Bibles out there that teach this view. One that really became popular in the mid-1800s, and before that wasn't really anything. And, you know, they believe that there are seven dispensations, so eras of time in which God interacts and tests man. And to hear more about that, I actually had Dr. Jonathan Welton on. I believe it's episode 124. Go listen to that if you haven't. I believe it's called Understanding the Better Covenant. So we talk about covenants, but he explains this dispensational viewpoint, not necessarily about end times, but just this understanding of this dispensational theology and belief. So I thought he explained it really well. So listen to that. To dig more into this topic. But essentially, in regards to end times, the dispensationalists believe that essentially the church and Israel are two distinct people groups of God. The promises given to Israel are unconditional. They cannot be lost, like they're the promised land. And they see a lot of fulfillment in Israel becoming a nation in 1948 again. And they also believe that Jesus will come back to earth after what's called the 7-year tribulation. So Daniel's 70th week, and he will rule physically on earth for 1,000 years of peace. They believe that the rapture of the church and the second coming of Christ are two different events in time. Like I said, when I was talking about the futurist, so they believe there is two different things going on. So as far as the rapture goes, there's many viewpoints within this. So they have what's called a pre-tribulation rapture, a mid-tribulation rapture, and a post-tribulation rapture. And that essentially is, if you have a 7-year tribulation period, you're either going to be raptured, like the silent rapture where all the Christians disappear, poof, they're gone, either at the beginning of the tribulation, in the middle of the tribulation, 7-year tribulation, or at the end of the tribulation. So their overall view of the end times appears as, okay, so you have the church age, you have society growing evil, which would be the current time that we're in. You have a 7-year tribulation period in great persecution. And then you have the rapture of the church, whether it's a pre, mid, or post-trib rapture. You have then an antichrist standing in the temple, declaring to be God, and basically all hell breaking loose on earth. Then at the end of that 7-year period, you have Christ returning, bringing the raptured church back with him physically to earth, reigning on physically on earth for 1,000 years of peace. Then you have Satan released and defeated for the final time. After the 1,000 years, then you have the new heaven and new earth. So essentially, that is the dispensational premillennial view. Like I said, I think this is one of the most complicated views that there is. There's so many different things. And that's the view that I was raised on. I was taught that growing up. That's all I was taught. I was never taught that there were other views that, you know, were backed by scripture. I was taught this is the only way that there is. This is what's going to happen. You have to be ready for the rapture. You could disappear at any moment. Or you're on the lookout for the Antichrist and a third temple building. And I think that this is just getting more and more amplified right now with the whole red heifer talk and everything that's happening over in Israel right now. However, again, I just encourage you that if you believe whatever you believe, if you believe it just because your pastor's taught it and you have never dug in for yourself and looked at the other views or really understand why you believe what you believe, like, could you back it? You know, understanding like apologetics, like, are you able to defend your faith and what you believe? Are you able to defend it with scripture and know it and not just say, well, because my pastor told me this, but also, are you able to understand scripture in its original context? You know, when it was written, who it was written to, what does it talk about? Because, you know, a lot of this view, this futuristic and dispensational view, hold to Matthew 24, the Olivet Discourse, being about the end times. And when you look at the context of it, and you understand that Matthew 24 is the same as Luke 21, it's the same conversation, and Mark 13, it's understanding that Jesus is talking about the destruction of the temple, which was to come within a generation, and it did come exactly one generation later. So understanding that, and then same thing with Daniel 9, reading it in context, and what was Daniel praying about? You know, what was the angel Gabriel talking about when he said 70 weeks are determined, right? That's 490 years. And then start asking the questions of, well, you know, why would there be a gap when the 70 week prophecy started? Why is there 483 years, but there's not that last 7 years for like 2,500 years later? You know, these are some of the questions that started to come up that really had me questioning what I was taught growing up. So, okay, that was dispensational premillennialism. The next one is called amillennialism. And according to the amillennial view, some people just call it the amill. So be aware of that. If you hear amill or amillennial, they do not believe in a literal 1,000-year reign of Jesus on earth. They don't believe it's a literal 1,000 years. They believe that it is a spiritual reign because Jesus is reigning at the right hand of the Father, right? When he ascended to heaven, he said during his ministry that the kingdom is at hand. He said that his kingdom is not of this world, because it's not, it's a spiritual kingdom. And so this view believes that this quote unquote millennial reign, so 1,000 years, is a spiritual reign. They also do not believe that it's like literal 1,000, because when you dig into the original writing of that word 1,000 in Revelation 20, it does not reference a definite 1,000 years. And so understanding that it's, you know, when you look at the Greek word that's used, it's used as an adjective to describe an indefinite amount of time. And they can't really dig into the root word of it. So then they put in based on the Strong's Concordance. Sorry if I'm not making sense. Based on the Strong's Concordance, they cannot find the root word of it, but they put in plural of uncertain affinity. So they are unsure. However, when you look at it, it's used as an adjective to describe an indefinite amount of time. So essentially it's figurative language. It is not a literal 1,000. And they believe that when Jesus comes back for the second coming of Christ, that he will defeat Satan once and for all for good. And they believe that Satan is bound right now that he was bound during Jesus's ministry when he said, I bound the strong man, right? And he saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And so they believe that that happened because they understand the phrase of to not deceive the nations anymore, simply as being to not keep the Gentiles from accepting the gospel. That's the simplest, most simple phrase, you know, way to put it that I can. To not deceive the nations means that those other nations, the Gentiles, can now come in and receive the free gift of everlasting life through salvation, through Jesus Christ, through faith in Jesus Christ. And so they believe that he is bound right now, and we are simply waiting on him to come back. So overall, the amillennial view of end times appears as the church age with tribulation all throughout. They don't necessarily think it's just going to be at the end of all time. Jesus is reigning currently in the spiritual, in the hearts of believers right now, and that Satan is bound from deceiving the nations. Then the second coming of Christ will defeat Satan once and for all. And then we have new heaven, new earth with eternity. So that's the amillennial view. Then we have the post-millennialism. So post-millennialism agrees in the sense that they don't necessarily believe it's a literal 1,000 years. They believe it's just a long period of time. And they also agree that there is no set tribulation period and that it's just overall. However, they believe that there will be a great time of peace. So a long period of time of peace where most of the world submits to God and that evil essentially loses its power and will eventually collapse. So they view the church as victorious over that evil and that Jesus will, during this time, he will not necessarily be reigning physically on earth, but again, in that he is reigning in heaven spiritually right now. And overall, believers just have a renewed sense of commitment to God, thus most of the world coming to know him and getting saved, right? Hearing the gospel. So essentially the post-millennial view is their overall view of the end times. This appears as the church age, society grows better. So this is a big difference than the other ones. So society is slowly growing better. There is a great time of peace where most of the world submits to Jesus. There is still some evil, but the evil eventually collapses. And then the second coming of Jesus brings a new heaven and new earth with eternity. So that was a lot. I know that was a lot. But if you're taking notes, you might have to listen to this again. Again, there are four overarching ways that people view Revelation. That is historic. So the historic view, the futurist view, idealism, and preterism. And then you have the four different end time views overall. You have historical premillennialism, dispensational premillennialism, amillennialism, and postmillennialism. And real quick, as a review, in a nutshell, historic premillennialism, Christ will return physically and visibly to usher in a millennial reign. You have the dispensationalism. That's the millennial reign of Christ will begin after his return at the end of the distinct 7-year period known as the tribulation. Then we have the amillennialism, and this is no literal open, like visual, literal 1,000-year reign. Christ is reigning in the hearts of believers right now. Then you have postmillennialism, and this is really the gospel spreads across the whole world and people turn to Christ and then he will return after that. So I hope that this helps just break it down in your mind for you. Again, you don't have to hold to one of these certain views. You could have different viewpoints, you know, or you agree with different parts of a few of them, and that's okay. I really encourage you, like I said at the beginning, to understand why you believe what you believe. Really understand it. Have you dug into the other views? Have you seen what makes sense? To me, I can totally see the historic view of Revelation. That makes sense. But I also can understand the partial preterist view, right? Personally, I do think that we are waiting on Jesus to come back. And I don't think all of that has been fulfilled. I do believe that there is a second coming of Christ, and that's what we're waiting for. However, I'm sure you know this, you know, based on listening to my other podcasts, but I do not believe that there is a 7-year tribulation at the end of time. It is not, it's not biblical, honestly, as you break down Daniel and understand what Daniel 9 is actually talking about. It is not the 70th week of Daniel. And again, go listen to episode 123 for a better breakdown of that. But, you know, I do not believe that we are waiting for a third temple to be built. And I know that I'll probably get a lot of pushback from even this podcast, because that's what happens when you put yourself out there, and that's fine. Just be nice about it. But I just find it really, really important for people to dig into the other views before they start bashing other views. That's one of my biggest things. You know, people will say, well, if you believe like in this partial preterist view, like, how can you do that? You know, and just start giving you like all this crap for it and saying, well, no, there's a 7-year tribulation and pushing back. And I just want to ask, like, have you ever looked at the history? Have you ever looked at why I believe what I believe and really dug into this view? Because I did the exact same thing that these other people are doing before I dug into it. But once I dug into it and really understood, then it made more sense to me. It made way more sense than the dispensational. So I just encourage you to do the same. And again, all of this is in our Revelation study. And we really go into the cultural background of, you know, what was going on in that time when Revelation was written, what, you know, understanding what the New Testament apostles, what they believed, what was their worldview, what did they know? And, you know, honestly, John was a Jew. He understood the symbolism. He understood the imagery of the Old Testament. And that's why there's so many connections from Old Testament symbolism and imagery to Revelation. And once you see that, it makes it way easier to understand and to really break down. And I mean, same thing with the Gospels. So you have Matthew. Matthew was written specifically to Jews. And that's why in Matthew 24, it says, when you see the abomination of desolation, that, you know, that's Jesus's words. It says that. However, if you go over to Luke 21, Luke wrote his gospel to the Gentiles. The Gentiles would have had no clue what the phrase abomination of desolation meant. And so in writing to the Gentiles, instead of writing when you see the abomination of desolation, he says, when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies. That is the abomination of desolation, Jerusalem surrounded by armies. And so once you can start putting those pieces together of really understanding the worldview and what they believed, what these disciples believed and how they wrote in their writing style. Again, John writes and pulls so much symbolism from the Old Testament. And that's what I loved about doing, writing this Revelation study, is really looking at the Old Testament, like, prophets and the same symbolism, but what were they talking about? Because we can see for the most part, the Old Testament and how it was fulfilled and how all the prophets, you know, Isaiah, Ezekiel, all the minor prophets talking about the destruction of Jerusalem the first time and the destruction of the first temple, and how that is in, you know, such an amazing way that pulled over then into Revelation, same symbolism. But I would just beg you know, to question, like, is it talking about the destruction of the second temple? And I think that we are unfortunate to not have the history be taught to us about what happened in the first century in Jerusalem. You know, what happened within the generation immediately following Jesus's crucifixion. He told the Pharisees, he said all throughout, I mean, it's all throughout his ministry saying, this generation. And he meant it. Within a generation, all the blood of the prophets and the saints would be on that generation, talking to the Pharisees, Matthew 23. And then you literally see what happens a generation later. So it's just, it's so amazing and it's so cool to see. But anyways, I kind of got off on a little tangent there. So overall, I hope that you learned something about these different end time views, just to make it a little bit easier as I continue on this journey and having different guests on the podcast to talk about different things, you will understand the terminology. So again, plan on in the future, we will have another series on the millennial reign, the mark of the beast we'll do on, the history of dispensationalism, all of these things coming up. But as you know, in the past, some good ones to listen to, Pastor Doug Van Dorn, we talked about the millennial and Satan being bound during the time of Jesus's ministry in the first century. So that was a great one to listen to. Leo de Sequeira, I had him on talking about, you know, where are we in Revelation, the millennial reign, what does that look like? Dr. Jonathan Welton talking about the different covenants, because Revelation is definitely related to the new covenant. So anyways, you guys, again, hopefully you enjoyed, and I'm curious to hear your thoughts. Again, keep them nice. Don't be mean about it. And let me know your thoughts on this. And, you know, what do you believe? So have a great day, you guys, and I'll see you next time.